Talk with you at 790 KABC. Peter till the 10 begins right now. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. They'll beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. He's been saying that forever since he had the one little store in Culver City. Now look at it. He's everywhere. Welcome. Happy Monday. Got the Peter Till News Quiz next hour for tickets to the Port of Los Angeles Lobster Fest, which is the world's largest lobster festival, a home of four Guinness World Records. There's music, there's food, there's entertainment. There's the USS Iowa, 900-foot battleship. So I'll tell you when to call in for tickets. It's a four-pack of tickets to the Port of Los Angeles for the Lobster Fest, so we'll do that. Got lots to talk about today. I just wanted to come up with a couple of things that are always on my mind that I like to start with that you help me out with. Robocalls. Does anybody understand why if you're on the Do Not Call registry, which I have done on the internet, I've called them, I've sent emails, etc. I'm on that registry. Why I'm still getting 50 calls a weekend, and the IRS guy is just driving me crazy, that recording. Steven, you've gotten that too, the IRS guy with the accent. You have never gotten that? Oh, I'll refer him to you, the fake IRS guy, so he'll have something else to do. But the robocalls are getting to be insane. I don't know. I don't get what else to do. If anybody else has a solution out there, because I know many of us are in the same situation where you're, especially right now, there's a medical situation in my family. So I jumped to answer the phone where normally I wouldn't bother. You know, I'd let it go to the machine. So I jumped to answer the phone, and sure enough, on the hard line and even on the cell, it's getting to be really stupid. So I don't know that the Do Not Call registry works. I'm just hearing about new TSA screening. In Missouri, they started it. Now they're going to start it in Sacramento for paper products. The new system would require you to take all reading material and food out of your carry-on luggage and place it in a separate bin so they can look through your books to see if anything is hidden in the pages, like in high school where you used to hide stuff, you know, cut out the center of your book and put it through. But doesn't the machinery, when you put it through the scanner, isn't it strong enough to see what's inside a book there? Now, they're saying they want to pay attention to the content, but, you know, what people are worried about now is, are they going to screen you out for political content or religious nature, depending on the book you're reading? So it's a whole different thing they're going for now. Department of Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly said Sunday he'll likely expand new searches nationwide and may also ban laptop carry-ons for all international flights in and out of the U.S. We've been hearing that for a while, but really? My book, you're going to take, by the way, who's carrying books anymore? That's already suspicious if somebody has a book in their backpack today. Who's carrying books on a plane? Isn't everybody reading on their iPad, on their laptop, whatever? I'm kidding. But so they're going to scrutinize your books and your food. I don't know what your food indicates, or maybe there's been a threat that they've discerned that where they're sticking stuff in Snicker bars. I don't know, but that's the way that goes. A list came out Friday that made me crazy. And the list is how far each car goes. They list the car model when you're on empty. First of all, I can't drive around. When I'm down to an eighth of the tank, I'm so paranoid already. Even though I know my car will go X amount of miles, I can't do it. But I don't know if this is true. I don't know that these can be true. When you're like a Ford F-150 pickup, that's a pretty big truck, on empty can still go 35 to 80 miles. Honda Accord can go up to 93 miles on empty. A Hyundai Sonata can go 40 miles an empty. I guess everybody knows they'll go a certain amount, but doesn't this just let people know? It entices people now to get stuck on the freeway and run out of gas because you go, I got that many more miles. I just read the on empty thing. Plus, I don't know if it's true or not, if there's a mechanic out there. I was told on my Prius, for instance, don't let it go to empty because it can do something to the gas tank, because the gas tank, I guess, is collapsible or something. So, or can cause a vacuum, or there can be a problem, and I don't know if that's a wives' tale, but the woman alerted me to the fact, she said, you should not let it go below an eighth, because something, I forget what it was she explained, because I was kind of listening, because I thought it could be real, maybe really, oh, it's a plastic bladder, can collapse or something, it doesn't have, that's what you, so you heard it too, Stephen. Oh, he has a Prius also. So, okay, so there you go. So I don't know if it's real or not, but they said don't let it go to empty. Here's a much more interesting story. And a much more concerning story. You got a lot of the DWP employees, very heavy voting bloc, contributing to City Hall. And the mayor promised when he was elected that he would be transparent. He'd go after the unions there, the International Brother of Electric Workers, Local 18, which represents most of the DWP employees. And he said he would really get them because of where we're heading as far as our deficit and where we're heading as far as what we owe for pensions. So what he negotiated at the time when he was elected was 3 years without raises, followed by a 4% pay hike in 2016 and a reduction in pension benefits for new employees. Well, it appears now, so we're now 4 years later, and it looks like the New Deal, congratulations, pretty generous. I don't know how many of you out there get six raises over 5 years, totaling between 13% and 22%, depending on inflation. No other additional pension reform. So as we're all sitting here with bated breath, waiting to hear about health care, if you work for the DWP, guess what? You don't have to contribute. There's no requirement that employees contribute to their health care. They do knock out the $4 million paid to those secret union-run training and safety institutes that we never got a final conclusion on, where that money went, why it went there. We heard rumors that it was going for food and travel and discretionary spending with no obligation to report where it went because it was very secretive, and we had the city attorney was investigating, controller was investigating. We never had a definitive on that. But they're going to vote Wednesday on all of this, and I've never heard anything about it. There hasn't been real discussion about it. They're going to fast track it. No neighborhood council meeting, no petitions for additional cost savings. They're just going to do it, as they always do, kind of behind closed doors. Because, again, who are we talking about? We're talking about the employee unions that are major donors to the city hall campaigns always. And then what you hear always is, well, you know, if we don't pay people at DWP, they'll go to other places because they're going to be enticed. You train a lineman, it costs you a lot of money to train him, and then he's going to go to Edison or somewhere else that's going to pay him more. Well, that's okay. Let's say the lineman thing works. That's only a small percentage of the employees. What about everybody else that works there? They're all going to be traipsing out of there to go where? Are there that many jobs at other utilities that they're all going to pick up and go and have empty buildings because we didn't negotiate because we negotiated too tough for them? So what happens too is other unions, city employee unions, then demand the same thing as the DWP, whether they should get it or not. And then they end up getting it, and their secretaries and security guards, et cetera. So I don't get it. I don't get why this negotiates. Well, I do get it. I get why it goes on behind closed doors and why it's so generous. It's so generous because these politicians want the backing as they go up and up and up, and they want the support, and they get it. Villaraigosa, I'm reading an article here. Villaraigosa approved raises of nearly 25% over 5 years for 20,000 city workers, and that was because there was complaints about the pay disparity with DWP employees. Well, now, here you want all the employees should cover some percentage of the health care costs, but they don't. And the new workers, I don't know if they have to, but we have to kick in now. The ratepayers and taxpayers, here's what they're doing. They're going to go behind closed doors Wednesday. They're probably going to approve this thing with, like I said, no neighborhood council, no discussion. And congratulations to the DWP employees, because you're going to get six raises over 5 years, as much as 22%, and you don't have to pay for your kick in for your health care. As we're sitting here, I think our health care handbook now, Steve's really good at that. I think it's the same as the old employer. I think I read the wording this weekend. If you lose an eye or a limb, they actually send somebody down from corporate to help you find it. I think that's our health care program here. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen with our health care at this point. You know, we had a guest on, Elizabeth Rosenthal, who's very, very busy, really smart lady who deals with health care. She's a writer. She's also a doctor. And she spelled out some really interesting scenarios, like a certain person had a rheumatologist who changed affiliations from one hospital to another less than a mile away. And the treatment went, the arthritis treatment went from $19,000 to over $100,000. Now, here's the amazing thing. Same drug, same dose, but at the new place, they had Wi-Fi, bottled water, and free cookies. So you can do that. Another one with person was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and was taking a drug called Avonex in 1998, which is part of disease-modifying therapies. Approved in 96, it was expensive, about $9,000 a year. Two decades later, It's not the latest thing anymore. Its annual price, $62,000. A minor elective surgery to remove a cyst from somebody's hand was booked at a small facility that was classified as a hospital. If she had done it at a place that was a doctor's room, an outpatient thing, it would have been $11,000 rather than $2,000. Echocardiograms, which are sonograms of the heart, you get one for $1,700, which was at a Harvard training hospital. The other for $5,435, briefer at a community hospital in New Jersey. So the problem is that they can charge whatever they want, and this health care bill is not going to probably address that. And it is pretty amazing because patients have no way to know what you're really paying for something, so we can't drive the market down. And what she's pointing out is it's something called sticky pricing, which means doesn't matter if the drug is old, doesn't matter how much it costs. If another company comes out with a new drug and raises their price, the old prices go up with it. Like MS therapies raise their prices to the new sticky pricing. So MS drugs that sell for less than 1,000 months in the UK cost about $5,000 for Americans here. When a hospital system can get away with charging higher prices, then it provides cover for all the other hospitals, even for non-innovative treatments, to raise their prices, even though the cost isn't going up. So this whole thing about developing and, I mean, MRIs, CAT scans, sonograms, they've been around for how long? And they keep raising prices. In Japan, it just so happens that the doctors, politicians, and economists get together and decide what these different medical treatments and encounters cost. So the price of a technology goes down as it ages. That means in Japan, the echocardiogram now are for under $100. So it is, we are in a really bad situation because of all the medical industry lobbying. And we don't have a market. I mean, look what happened to, what is it, the eye surgery they have, the laser eye surgery? That price, they never approved eye surgery, the laser eye treatments. So it was in the open market. And what happened? It went down and down and down because patients knew what it was. They knew what the costs were. They could search it out, and you can get a treatment that was cheaper and cheaper. The problem, even with Obamacare, Bill Clinton was right. He called it the craziest thing in the world. People were out there busting it, sometimes 60 hours a week, wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half. It's because of this. It's because of lobbying, and both sides are guilty of that. And unless they address it, we're just going to be playing around with health care forever, eating up major debt, and having people with pre-existing conditions pay more and more and more, having people who aren't sick not opting in until they are sick, and relying on a system that relies on government spending in a big way and ignores the fact that the private sector can play a part in this if we were just given the opportunity, but they don't want us to have the opportunity, which is why the lobbyists are involved, and they keep the sources from us, the revenue from us. We don't know what things cost. We usually don't care, and the consumer is driven out of this marketplace, and this is 1/6 of our economy. So you got improving quality, you got access, you got innovation. That's what we should be going for. We're doing exactly the opposite. And I gave the example of laser eye surgery. Look how affordable that has become. So the government is going to keep deciding how much it's going to pay to eat up some of this, but it's not going to fix it. So that's where we're at. It's not going to fix anything. It's just going to decide we're going to kick in less for Medicaid. That's what you're hearing now. The Senate bill, the House bill, it's about how much we want to kick in for Medicaid and how long, what they're going to do for pre-existing conditions because that costs the most, how much they're going to charge people, and why can't I just pick a plan for what I need? If I'm not married and I don't have to worry about pregnancy and I don't have to worry about this and that, why can't I just pick a plan that is tailored to me? Well, because they won't let the marketplace do that. So we spend trillions and trillions of dollars, which artificially increases premiums, which makes them unaffordable. And people then have to drop coverage or they're paying a penalty. I mean, the system, we're not being honest about the system. So as long as the lobbyists are in there to the extent that they are, and I remember asking Jack Abramoff, who's on periodically with us, who was the number one lobbyist and went to jail for it, what this new health care bill, is it good? Do we have a shot? Is it something good? And he started laughing and he said on the air, it's the lobbyists getting another crack at it. They are so excited they're going to get a chance to go back in there and get what they didn't get last time and impact. If you don't think they impact in a big way, after this next bill, I would love to find out how many lobbyists are involved with each congressman that's cobbling together this bill. And by the way, the bill's not a slam dunk either, the Senate bill, because they've got enough defections. They have at least four or five senators and they can only afford two, but they have four or five senators who are not on track, and there are a bunch more who are questioning it because they're really nervous about what's going to happen with the CBO score. So if you want to talk about that, 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after that.
I am a lineman for the county.
And you're making a lot of money, and you can be lured to Edison. Talk Radio 790 KVC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hey, we make it easy to hear all our news-making interviews, our timely, provocative podcasts on your smartphone and iPad. Download the 790 KVC app from iTunes and Google Play. And from KBC.com, take KABC wherever you go. Download the KBC app and listen longer from the now louder and clearer News Talk Evolve 790 KBC. So I'm saying this just came up, breaking news. Republicans just released an updated version of the plan to replace and repeal Obamacare. The newest draft, which, and they're going to be making changes all week, and they're waiting for the CBO score, which they think will come in this afternoon or tomorrow. The thing that they just changed is to incentivize individuals to maintain their health care coverage, regardless of whether they are sick. And what it says is the newest plan would bar people from getting insurance for 6 months if they had a lapse in coverage for 63 days or more in the previous year. It wasn't in the original bill, but health care experts, of course, are saying that without some kind of continuous coverage incentive, the health care market could become really unstable. And this is to make sure that healthy people have insurance, which helps keep the premium down. I don't know if that's going to work, but as I said, the supply side of healthcare is a mess, and they're not really addressing that in a big way. And then the cost, the rising cost of healthcare. All they're trying to do right now is figure out how much the government should kick in rather than figuring out how we can be competitive and how we can increase the quality, the number of people insured, and get our costs down. Don't know that they're ever going to be able to do that unless they address this, like I said, honestly, and talk about the true costs and make it more of a free market thing. But, hey, they're kicking this around. We'll see what they come up with, and we'll see if they can get it passed. Too many defectors right now. But I know that McConnell wants this before they go on the recess, so we'll see if they can get it going. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. We'll be right back. Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tilden 10 continues. First of all, I want to thank everybody who participated Friday because you made me feel better about the bike lanes and the L.A. Vision Zero, Zero Vision moving forward. Take a lane away, put a bike lane in there that nobody's going to use and tie up traffic everywhere. The outpouring was enormous, and maybe on the west side with Mr. Bonin and in other places. Who's the other one that made one of the dumbest comments ever about traffic downtown where it's moving slower? And that people will go to the bagel store and the donut store because they'll see it for the first time. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to a place that's horrific with traffic, and I'm going to go there every single day to frequent it more and more instead of finding an alternate route. It is insane, and you affirmed it. The calls through the roof that we're moving slower and slower with this Vision Zero thing, and hopefully these lawsuits, some of these lawsuits will move forward. Speaking of lawsuits, the Supreme Court travel ban is kind of interesting in that they allowed parts in the Supreme Court of the president's travel ban to go into effect. And they're going to hear oral arguments, I think, sometime in October when they're back. So they're allowing it to go into effect for foreign nationals. And here's my question. Here it comes. Who lack any bona fide relationship with any person or entity in the United States. Remember what I just read. Any foreign nationals who lack any bona fide relationship with any person or entity in the United States. This was an unsigned opinion, but it left the travel ban against the citizens of six majority Muslim countries on hold, as applied to non-citizens with relationships with persons or entities in the United States, which includes most of the plaintiffs. Okay. So what that means, I'm guessing, is if you have a relationship like you're going to university or you have an employer and you're an employee and accepted a job with a U.S. company. But here's going to be the issue. And if you're a lawyer out there, an expert, how do you explain, who just explains what a bona fide relationship with a person in the United States is? Is that a blood relationship? Is that my eighth cousin Ernie relationship? Is it a close friend who steps up and says, yes, I am a close friend? Who decides what a credible legal claim is for a bona fide relationship that will allow you entry into the United States? The other part of this, when they're hearing the case, I'm guessing is going to be that the Trump administration said that they wanted the travel ban to be in place while they figure out what's going on. My question is, did they figure it out? What did they do in the 152 days so far that he's been in office as far as figuring out? I know they've amped up their vetting to make it a little bit more extreme, but what have they figured out? Because they wanted a 90-day temporary ban, and I think they wanted 120 days on refugees. What if, I'd be curious to hear, if I'm a judge, what they've done in the night you got your 90 days. While this was going on, all of this lawyering back and forth and discussion back and forth, what has the government done in the 90 days to do what you said you were going to do in 90 days to affect the travel ban? So those are two issues. I'm going to have Jessica Levinson on next hour, professor at Loyola Law, because I want to answer on that. How do you figure out legally, and who decides legally, what's a bona fide relationship with somebody? Yeah, that's my cousin. I know him, I like him, and I'm going there to see him. Is that bona fide? Because you mentioned it and he's a cousin. Is something you have to have seen or stayed with? You have to have lived with them for a while. I know when other people came over and moved here, immigration push, you'd have to have sponsors standing up for you and job papers, etc. So I don't know what bona fide relationship means. It's kind of interesting that that language was put in there. But who in the government then, who in the executive, what executive official has to be the decider of what that is, to what that extent that is, and then at what point they're in contempt, and whether individuals from those nations want to enter if they have a sufficient connection to a person or entity. That leaves it wide open for me and begs more questions because it's just so out there. It's such gray area. So we'll see how they're going to address that, the Supreme Court, and again, the October. And then you got the question of Justice Kennedy. Is he going to retire? Is he not? Because that would give the president his legacy. He'd be able to appoint another conservative judge and then to swing the court to a much more conservative bent. So it'd be a solid 5-4 majority. That would be, like I said, that would be his legacy. Is that going to happen? And is Kennedy's being kind of mum on it, whether he's going to leave or not. He's, I think, 81. The next, I think Ginsburg's 84, Breyer is 78, and Neil Gorsuch, I think, is 20-something. No, I think he's in his 40s. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tobin at 10 continues with a little bit of George Harrison. Don't forget, next hour, we're going to play the news quiz for a 4-pack of tickets to the world's largest lobster festival, the Port of Los Angeles Lobster Fest, Food and Music Weekend, July 14th, 15th, 16th, on the waterfront in San Pedro. If you haven't been, man, that is an experience to begin with. What a wonderful place that is. I love the restaurant there, the San Pedro Fish Market. It's amazing. And this Lobster Fest is a trip, so get ready to call. Older men have geekier sons. A new study just came out that says that geekier sons are born to guys who marry and have kids older. They have higher IQs, and they're a little bit more socially aloof, which I don't know about that, but and they may be even more successful. It's funny because a lot of polls in the past said that if you have a child when you're older in age, it could lead to medical conditions and higher risk of autism and schizophrenia. They're saying now, however, older father can have benefits for a child too, big time. And there's this, they said the geek index score, and they're using geek as the fact that these are kids with higher IQs. These are kids who fare better well in intellectual pursuits. But the results vary with age depending on how old the father is. I think part of this, however, when you do research is older fathers or people who wait to have kids when they're older, they probably have a higher socioeconomic status. They probably have moved further in their jobs. They have higher qualifications. So maybe the kids do better because they're living in a more enriched environment. That could be the result. Let's go to the phone and say hi to David in Garden Grove. David, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. What do you want to say?
Hey, I just want to make one point to expound on your point about the price gouging. I believe, first of all, that the GOP bill they need to spend more time on that to get it right. And number two, on the other hand, Peter, and you could Google this, Google USA Today 2009 Preventive Services Agency. That was a new agency that Obama created for Obamacare back in 2009. And what they did, this is so outrageous. This exposes how Obamacare puts women's health at grave risk, and that is that what they did, that preventive service agency declared, well, women only need a mammogram once every 2 years, when in fact it was only
Listen to me. I know a lot of the guidelines, and I don't have that specifically. There are huge problems with Obamacare. The problem is this. There are going to be huge problems with the GOP bill unless you get lobbying out of this and you decide to really dig down on supply side and you don't let these companies do this pricing. But so far, we haven't really – President Trump said he's going to get invested in this and negotiate with these companies. The lobbyists, when you know how many lobbyists are in there working on this health care bill – the problem is going to be the same thing. I talked about epinephrine.
Exactly. They've got to really work on this.
But it's not. I know it's not going to work. Though. I have to carry an EpiPen. Epinephrine's been around 100 years. It costs less than a dollar, and they want $600, anywhere from $200 to $600 from this. So, how are you going to correct? You tell me how you're going to correct that, and how you're going to get those prices down, unless you realistically address the problem. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Mitch's Royal Gems, if you haven't stopped by yet, you should. As a matter of fact, it's a good place to just hang. Families hang there because he serviced generations with wedding rings, engagement rings, jewelry that says I love you, and you don't just go in there and buy it. He makes the jewelry, and he'll make you a custom piece for less than you can buy jewelry at another store that's pre-made because he cuts out all the middlemen. He's got 4 master craftsmen sitting there. He brings in the diamonds, the loose stones. He makes the settings, so you spend 30 to 50% less than most other jewelry stores. You got an old piece of jewelry? Let the master craftsman at Royal Gems transform it into something new. He's got a large selection of diamond rings and earrings and bracelets and pendants. He does, like I said, everything in-house, even repairs in 45 minutes while you watch and wait. They're at their new location, 17205 Ventura Boulevard in the Plaza de Oro, right across from the Encino Commons. Look for the arch over Ventura Boulevard there, and he's right there. Plenty free parking. Open Monday to Saturday, 10 to 6. Sunday and other times by appointment. So give him a call, 818-347-7974, or better yet, go in and see his beautiful new store and all the beautiful jewelry and see what he can make custom for you.